to What the Fuck Did I Just Read, the Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to affect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. All right. Welcome to episode 30 of What the Fuck Did I Just Read, Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. It's WTF Wednesday. Super happy about that.
Oh, it's needed.
I will be frank. This is my favorite part of the week. Really, it is. It's the therapy session.
It is. I think that's it. I love folks that are here. Maria's on this morning. I love folks that are here. But this is therapy.
It is.
I mean, it really is. It's for so many different. It's cathartic, I think, as well. I look at it as a cathartic thing rather than a therapy thing. I don't want to admit fully. I'm having a biscuit, which I'm not allowed to have. Actually, let me rephrase this. I'm having a half a biscuit because Milo is currently under the desk. Knows that sound. Girl Scout cookies, by the way, peanut butter Girl Scout cookies.
Oh man, I can't. If I start with the Girl Scout cookies, it's never gonna stop. So I just might as well not start.
I get to eat half, and then Milo gets to eat the other half on the Indian silk rug. But we won't go there on that one.
Classy.
Oh yeah, I'm civilized. At some point in time, I'm gonna get yelled at for that, but don't care.
Well, good morning.
Yeah, I'm dozy as all hell. So if everybody's aware, I was talking to Danny offline. I woke up at about 6 o'clock this morning. I think for two reasons. Dude's brain decided to wake up. Plus, last week I was in New York with Alan Alpha and the Sempris crew. And before I went to New York, I put a chuck roast, like a big 3.5-pound chuck roast in the crock pot, cooked it overnight, got up at like 4 or 5 in the morning, chucked it in the fridge, then went to New York, came back from New York. How did I get back from New York? Thursday, Friday last week, whenever it was.
Thursday.
And I've been eating it every day since last Friday, and it's now the following Wednesday. So it's probably getting to the end of its life, and my stomach, I think, is telling me it's getting to the end of its life. It's gurgling a little. So no McVitie's, I'm afraid. I actually don't want biscuits in the house. These are leftovers from the office that I'm freezing, and I'm using as bribery for people. So no, if I put biscuits in the house, I'll eat the stupid things. And like one of those will do me okay. I have 2 or 3 of those, and my glucose spikes like nobody's freaking business. Speaking of which, I haven't checked it this morning.
It's one of those mornings, but it's a super great morning because we are at a milestone. We are at episode 30.
Yeah.
Great news. We've survived what most
Talk
don't.
Talk about the 30 thing, because to me, that's not a normal like milestone in life.
Well, it's rounded out. I mean, every week is a milestone if we make it with our head screwed on straight. After reading your inbox.
Sure, tell me about that one. Yeah.
But I think the average podcast doesn't last after like 10 or 15 episodes. Correct me on that, folks. I don't really know the true number in 2023. But I mean, we've been podcasting for more than 2 years. So we've created at least 3 or 4 different shows.
Yeah, because we started with the Dr. Dark Web stuff.
Yeah.
Which was absolutely fantastic. I really missed that. We need to get hold of somebody over there. And you know, if anybody from there is listening, can we please use our logos and have? I kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was a good time. Super insightful.
Although I like what we're doing now.
But. Yeah, I like what we're doing now. We're doing a lot of different things now, off different kinds of channels. But this is kind of the consistent channel we've been coming on each week.
Yeah,
and I thought today could be a good day to kind of reflect on our journey. I mean, we talked about let's go through some of our favorite episodes in the past 30 plus weeks. But I think we could go through that, but also get some reflections, not only between us but also from our audience who's been coming on weekly, which has been really great. I mean, they've been fueling a lot of the content that we've been creating as well. So bravo to those who've been coming on consistently and listening for the hour. So I really thank you all
Do you see the message from John? John said 7 episodes is the average, 50%, and Maria wants us to bring Dark Web back.
Oh, well, we're going to have some
we'll have to figure that
conversations
out
with the folks over at CSG. So,
yeah. Might be able to do that. Actually, Maria, we might be able to talk with Maria because we know what they're using behind the scenes at Intel side of the world. So we can have a conversation. We'll figure something out.
We'll figure it out.
Actually, let's update folks. So New York was at the Semperis they did a piece of artwork for like all of us that were speaking. It was actually fantastic. And the one with me is great. It looks like I look like the hatchet man that the mob call when they need to get rid of another mob completely. I mean, I'm just looking. I'll see if I can find it. I'll send it. Danny, I'll send it to you. It's freaking awesome. I mean, it just makes me, it looks like I'm just about to eat something or somebody. And I absolutely love it. But I got to meet the artist. And I mentioned him in the post I did post New York. And I think it was actually fantastic because I talked with him because I've got a couple of things stewing in the back of the head. So I've got two books that I actually want to write. And one of them is going to be an expanded LinkedIn post. It's like, take the LinkedIn post, which is, you know, anywhere from whatever it used to be, like several hundred characters to 1,300 now, and expand that out to just a paragraph and a chapter in a book, each one of them be something like a chapter in a book, and do something fun with those. And with that, do some artwork for every single one. And then the other one is I just want somebody to help out and do some fun artwork for all sorts of things, possibly also another book as well. So I'm looking forward to finding somebody like that. But yeah, so we could probably do some artwork for us. I think they absolutely younger kid based up in the middle of Boise, I think, if I remember rightly from the conversation, got in with the Semperis crew because just got to know some of the crew, did some work for them. And I love the work he's done on the Purple Knight and everything else. It's absolutely fantastic stuff.
I love it. I'm an artist, so totally for it. Yeah. And we're at a good time where we have enough episodes under our belt. We have enough data under our belt. We have enough of a following under our belt that we can now level up a little bit. Yes. So do tell us, folks, how we can level up in your opinion, whether it's our cover image, whether it's our format, whether it's the channel that we're using, whether it's the way we look. No, I think the way we look is great. But do tell us in the comments how our podcast has helped you or your organization. Do drop them in the comments. We've gotten some feedback that some of the folks listening in actually use this as an onboarding tool for their SDRs and sales reps. So I think that was a compelling little piece of feedback.
I think it helps. I mean, it's, you know, I look at the post I put out this week and it was, it was a little, I mean, that wasn't a rant. It was my normal blunt self. Let's be honest on this one. Mm-hmm. And I look at it, I'm like, you know, I take the time and yes, there's a little tongue in cheek and yes, there's probably a little more than a bit of sarcasm in there as well. But it's trying to take the time to go, okay, here's what we are seeing. And it's somewhat of a royal we, because it isn't just me. I mean, we're listening into a lot of people. I'm getting a bunch of stuff inbound now, which is absolutely fantastic. You and I both get copied on certain things as well, where we get copied on stuff, people are sending stuff in going, hey, you want to talk about this on your podcast? I'm like, yes, because it's stuff I've seen plus other people's stuff. And there's other conversations. I mean, April hit us up again because we need to do what the fuck did I just buy?
Yeah.
Is April on? If April's not on, no, because she typically, DFIR has their like fucking sales meeting at the same time as we are. DFIR, change your bloody sales meeting time. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, there's the post link anyway. So, there you go, Jason, sharing with the founders who are new to outreach. Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I think it depends on which, to your point, I think it depends on which book you read. Mm-hmm. Because you've got the books that say, and that, there was somebody that hit a LinkedIn post, and I think they thought I was angry with them. Which I kind of wasn't. I was more frustrated because apparently they came in and they threw out a whole bunch of commentary without actually reading, which was a little frustrating. I guess that's what humans do sometimes. Xavier, we probably need to have a conversation. You know, it's interesting. You know, yeah, cold outreach sucks. I mean, let's just start with the easy one. Cold outreach sucks. no if ands or buts. It's hard work. But I think it's one of these many companies will go for high volume, assuming you send 10,000 emails and get a 1 to 10 sales out of it. Well, you were not going to get a 1 to 10. You're lucky it's going to be a 1 to 100. This is like leaflet sales in the digital age. I don't know if I ever shared this with anybody here. Number one, I've done cold sales. I used to sell Kirby vacuum cleaners. So anybody tells me you've not done sales, it's nice I can put it up yours with brass knobs on. Because I've had to go door to door and sell £1,000 vacuum. Well, it was £899 vacuum cleaner. But I also did leaflet distribution as a kid. And you get a stack, like a stack of leaflets. And you walk house to house and you're putting these through people's post boxes. Unlike the US, where you drop anything in the mail, you've got a post box. You walk up to the house and put the stupid thing in the fucking letterbox. And I mean, I think the return rate on that was like 1,000 to 1 or something ridiculous like that. I mean, it was several hundred to one. But I mean, I think in standard sales, I mean, I remember when we used to do outreach, it was nowhere near 10 to 1.
Not easy at all. I know, coming in as a founder, running a business, I had to switch hats real quick from just the pure marketing hat to the sales hat. So it was a eye opener, let's just say that. And I have a massive respect for sales reps and sales folks. I mean, it got me thinking about the way I treated sales folks internally as a marketer. Not that I treated them bad, but I think I could have been a little bit more empathetic working in-house as a marketer, collaborating with SDRs
I
and
think we
account
probably all
executives.
could be. In all honesty, I think we all could be. But there's a balance. And it's that meet you halfway thing. It's no different than you and I did. I mean, think about it. I came in and I growled. And thankfully, you and I talked. We figured out what the common ground was and why there was common ground. And then it's like, all right, if we can do this, so can it help. Everybody's talking about Kirby's. This is awesome. I will answer one of the questions. I squirrel. I did not put dirt on people's floors. What we used to do though is when we showed the vacuum, when we showed the washi peter, we would like I'd wash like a square piece like about this size in the middle of their fucking floor. It was terrible. We were given all sorts of tactics. I remember doing the sales for this thing, and in the mornings before we went out, we had to stand on chairs and sing. I mean, it was scary. It was the cult of Kirby. All right, we digress. But I mean, I think there is. I try to be a little bit more civilized to most salespeople, but most of them, more often than not nowadays, if somebody hits me up on LinkedIn with this generic crap, more often than not, they're getting one of about 5 or 6 LinkedIn posts that I've done around this, plus also a reference, go watch the show. And actually, some people are watching it, which is useful.
What are some other things you've learned in this process of hosting 30 episodes? Because we're not the same as we were 30 plus weeks ago when we started this.
I think because you've listened a lot to people, and you've come to me and said, "Hey, this is how I think we should maybe think about this differently," which is what I love. Because it used to be, we'd come on, we'd kvetch for a while, we'd tear one down, and then we'd build it back up again. And we did a little bit of that. I think what's useful now is taking a different approach, because that's great, but it doesn't help so many of the people here. What I've done is I've pretty much have taken a chunk of the CISO brain out, put it on the table, and gone, "Look at this bit, look at this bit, look at this bit, look at this bit." So that's why, like the other week, we did the year in the life of the CISO. That's why I've taken a step back. I shared that spreadsheet, and I've gone, "Okay, this is, okay, this is how and when we do something." So a perfect example, I sat down with Steve, who's the CFO, yesterday, and we are 5 weeks from putting budget together for 2024. So we're in, what are we, end of August, almost beginning of September. So end of September, I will have my 2024 budget set. So when people come up to me in, say, October, November, December, the chances are I'm finishing off whatever the hell is running for the rest of the year. I'm also trying to get a breather in before the holidays, as I'm trying to get my team to have a breather in. But when they start talking to me about, "Hey, let's talk about 2024," well, it's already done. Like September, and this is how most companies work, August, September, October. That's the time to put your numbers. And I think getting that out to people here that are having to build sales plans and explain to them, here's when you can hit me up. Here's when, and that's my planning. Now what I have to do is, first quarter next year is sit down and go, "Okay, who do I actually want to talk with?" Every month, likewise. If you do that, I will use
Oh,
taxes on you.
I was saying it very quietly in my brain. I didn't want to say it out loud.
Oh, I know. In my head, I'm like, I'm about to get hit with this stuff. But somebody, I think it's frustrating because I'm looking. I think there's been some good progress. I've seen people hit me up on here now in better ways. And I think I've also seen people who have hit me up. I've sent them the post or LinkedIn and linked to this, and they've gone and watched it. And some of them maybe even are on here now, which is useful. My big concern, I think some of my biggest concerns, and probably my biggest one, is I worry that we still haven't hit the leaders that are
Yeah.
making the stupid decisions of quantity over quality.
So we need to be talking about that more. It's just repetition. We need to be talking about it more and getting this in front of those leaders. So for those who have leaders running this way, share this with them. That's my request. And then
Yeah, I think.
let us know also what are the questions you think we should be addressing. That'll help you to answer some of, or what are the things we need to be addressing that will help you and empower you to address those challenges and those and like pushbacks, right? We'll help formulate that elegantly. Because it's all about communication, is how it's the, and it's the perception of how you communicate that message, right?
I think that's the big one. That concerns me because I think we have, and maybe that's partly us. It's also enabling people,
Yeah.
and be enabling it through the podcast, enabling it through posts. I mean, there's a reason I go through my spam folder. Mostly, it's not for my own personal satisfaction. It's so that I can pull this kind of lunacy out and go, okay, look, this is literally the last week.
Yeah.
And there's some sarcasm in there. I think what I maybe need to do is put a couple of build-ups in there and go, okay, if you'd approached it this way, but that, I hate to say it, that takes a shit ton load more time for me to try to do that 30 times rather than just let the brain go mad on who's getting a flamethrower today. Oh yeah. Let's talk about flamethrowers for a minute. The fact that I got an inbound one that said that basically blamed the users, I'm like, pissed me.
I'm just looking through our list of questions that we plopped down last minute.
Yeah, let me
Yes,
look. Go for it.
folks, that's how we prepare. We plop things down last minute. Have there been we talked about rewards and challenges, but how is there a specific episode or memorable moment from the last 30 episodes, or even just in the podcast journey that we've had together that you can recall that kind of resonates, comes
I
up?
think I like the ones where you and I actually are in the same place. Those are fun for
Yeah.
me. Those are fantastic.
All right, let's kind of feel the room out. Should Chris and I come on every week live in person? I don't know how we can make that happen, but
You and I both. I'm limited on
seriously.
my. I'm limited on who I can fly with, let alone. And we need to build my
I
blasted
just
air.
gotta move. I just gotta be a neighbor at this
Well,
point.
yeah. Hang on. Here's the problem. I'm not sure how long I'm going to be in Colorado for. So
Oh, no
before we
way.
move, I'm. For those that know and those that follow me, I mean, there's a mental health journey that is ongoing, shall we say, and I have a battle coming up in November. And it's going to be a battle. I got a pretty nasty inbound message from the ex Thursday, Friday, which also didn't help a few other things. And I mean, it's pretty much I got to gear up. I'm going to have to gear up for a battle. And I kind of knew it, but I didn't. And I've been fighting it for 10 years, and it's been something that's been hanging over my head for 10 years. And so now it's coming up, and there's no escaping. I mean, there is escaping it, but and so I'm also not sure. I mean, very, very bluntly, I'm not sure where I want to go from the journey with Boom. I'm enjoying it, but it's also driving me nuts for a variety of reasons. Where I'm at the moment, it works, but it's not ideal. I mean, I'm living in a basement. Let's just be very, very honest about it. That seems okay sometimes, but I'm living in a basement. I'm not entirely steady or sure from a job standpoint, and I got some personal battles coming up. So, there is a large question in my head as to what I do and where I go at the end of the year. So, we might be doing this from somewhere different, in the middle of the Antarctic Circle with a bunch of freaking penguins at some point. We'll see.
I'm not against penguins on the show.
Yeah, Milo will be sitting there like, choo-choy?
Okay, so this is kind of a fun question, and I'm again, all these questions, by the way, I'm throwing out to the audience today as well. If our podcast had a mascot, what would it be and why?
I mean, I've got a favorite. I mean, it's as simple as that, but that's me. I am actually doing a t-shirt. Speaking of goofball under the table, I'm doing a t-shirt that I put together, and I did a LinkedIn post a while ago about, you know, things you just don't need to ask the Great Dane owner. And I got permission from Rocky Mountain Great Dane Rescue to use their logo. So I'm going to put their logo on the front of it. And, oh, Highland Coo.
What the hell is a Highland Coo? I'm sorry. I'm being totally ignorant. What's a Highland Coo?
It's a Highland Cow. Have you didn't even know what a Highland Coo is?
No, I don't know what a Highland Coo is. That was horrible, I know.
It worked, though. It worked. A flame-throwing bear.
I was thinking of going along
a taser bear. Penguin actually would be fun. We did, though. The penguins have been done because you've got
mad penguins are actually mad cute.
No, but the penguins have been done, and we'd probably get sued by like IL Industry, who's Illumination or somebody like that. We'd probably get sued by those people.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I'm done with dealing with lawyers. a woof mutt. Yeah, I do like the Highland Coo. That'd be kind of fun.
Oh my gosh.
All yes, right. Highland Cow for those that
I am learning that. New things.
Basically think of it as a Texas cow with long hair and a slightly more sarcastic demeanor about it.
Are those like the brown ones that have the curly thingies?
Yeah, it's okay. Like long. It's like a sheepdog, it's like a cow version of a sheepdog. You know, like a long, like an old English sheepdog before they get shorn. They're like big fluffy things. Think of that with horns, basically, but bigger, obviously.
Yeah. Milo with Poppy.
Milo with a Poppy.
At this point, Poppy would look like a little Milo poo. It's she's so small.
Yeah, there we go. Like a longhorn but furry. Yeah, that's what the Texas cow.
All right.
Except in Scotland we tend not to mount the horns to the front of our, you know, Renault 5s or whatever gets driven up in Scotland these days.
Got it. All right, let's go back to line of questionings. Your favorite episode, can you recall? Best of the, let's go through best of the worst. I have one in particular.
Go for it. You got one in specific. I'm listening.
We called it, and we just addressed this recently, but we called one episode, oh my gosh, bear with me, folks. I'm going to bring this up. Where is it? I want to be specific. Here we go. We called this episode The Teenage Angst and Drama-Ridden Emotional Turmoil, where we discussed, remember we had not just the sarcasm, but the rude tone. We talked about this last week, I think, Janet.
Yeah, where they were just freaking... what's her name? She got hit up with that asshole email.
Yeah. So that one was, I think, the best of the worst because it was just flat out rude. And I've seen all the tactics that we covered, whether it was the calendar invite that was unexpected or pay for play awards or what else did we have? We had we'll give you 15% to 30% off if you do this now, blah, blah, blah. And the gift cards. I've seen those before. I have yet and before this show, I haven't seen. A nasty email, and we've seen a few nasty emails come in through WTF inbox, and that to me stands out the most because just come on, like it's basic etiquette, like be a human, be nice, like especially if you're trying to get someone's business. So that stood out to me in the past 30 episodes. What about you? Can you recall anything? And by the way, if we didn't touch it on an episode and it's in your inbox, we can also bring that up as well.
Um, Yeah, actually, that was funny. Jason put it, the one that came onto the episode with the barbecue gloves on, the fireproof fire mitts on, and just about ready to be flying. That was actually a funny one. You know, I think it's, to me, I think it's how it's changed. I think it's how it's morphed. You know, there's still an element of spiciness in it, but I think it's how, again, to me, it's how it's morphed. It's, we're still going to flamethrow our stuff. I mean, I still want to go through some of the stuff that went through, and it will get read in a sarcastic, manner. But I think it's also, it's turned, and Danny, this has been a lot of your guidance, has how it's turned from, you know, hey, we're going to have a general chit chat, then we're going to blow something up, and then we're going to rebuild it in a way that works, into a much more, almost a philosophical, you know, somebody would still do some of that, but there's a lot more focus on the philosophical, like, okay, how do all the people that are listening actually approach a CISO more efficiently, more effectively? When to approach? How do they take the messaging here back to their organization? And I mean, the crazy thing is, we're not going to run out of bloody material. I mean, I think that's, that to me, I think is the big thing.
Did you see Ally's comment from this morning?
On what platform?
Just here, hold on. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can get it. I'm looking for it.
What was it?
It was something along the lines of when we have no more material, we've done our job.
Yeah,
Something along
it's
those
not, I mean,
lines.
it's the same as the security. I mean, security. It's like my goal in cybersecurity is to do myself out of a job. I mean, if you think about it, that's my ultimate goal. My ultimate goal would be to empower people sufficiently that there's no more need for me to do what I do. I mean, that was slash is and has been my goal. Unfortunately, I think it's one of those elusive, lofty goals that shall not happen in this lifetime, unfortunately, this day and age.
So we talked about change in metrics on some of your LinkedIn posts, but I want to talk about change in perception from your community side. So you've been posting a lot about this lately. You know, I've been requesting for you. From you to drop links to the post, and you've been touching on the topics of, you know, inefficient outreach and what vendors, salespeople, marketers could do on LinkedIn. Have you seen any change in perspectives from your network of security practitioners as of late, or no?
I've gotten some good feedback. I've gotten some good feedback from people that are actually ridiculously appreciative of what we are doing and highlighting it. I'm actually seeing more people on LinkedIn call out bad practices. And maybe it's just because I'm tuned. Well, no, because we've been talking about this for a long time, even before this. I'm seeing more people starting to stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. I hadn't seen much of that, which is, I think, and which is why when you and I started this, it was like a, it was novel. It was like, wow, there's something new. We're actually calling out not just how it shouldn't be done, but how it should be done. I'm starting to see more voices join in from the CISO, from the leadership community, and everything from like founders of organizations through to, you know, other people that are in similar roles, call it out and go, hey, this just isn't right. Here is an example. Here's something. Here's where it went wrong. Here's why it'll never hit my inbox. Here's why I'm never going to call you back. Here's why this is. And I'm seeing more of that. And I, unless it's, I might, not my bloody luck, it's LinkedIn's algorithm doing it for us. But I'm starting to see more and hear more people stand up and go, hey, we need change. We need a collaborative approach. I mean, very, very bluntly, let's face it, as a CISO, I'm being attacked every single second, every single day, you know, by adversaries who want my company's data, my company's systems, whatever else. So I already have one knife in my back because that's a continual attack system. The problem I run into is our own industry is sticking another knife in my back. And not necessarily always with me. I mean, you've seen this before. We talked about this tactic before, which is somebody goes to the CEO or tries to get hold of the CEO and say, hey, you know, and oh, I talked to your CEO and your CEO wants me to, wants you to listen to me. I mean, that shit's going to fall real badly, you know, and all these other stupid tactics where you're not helping the situation by attacking me or my organization or my integrity, you know, by basically saying, oh, you're not paying attention to my email, you don't care about security. You've done two things. One, you've actually distracted me from what I'm doing. And secondly, you just fucking pissed me off for like half a day. You've impugned integrity, all this other stuff. I had somebody hit me up on LinkedIn. He's like, hey, I wanted to put a face to a name of the email. And I'm like, okay, Now I'm going to actually, the problem I have is now I'm going to spend 5 minutes looking for your email. One, because I feel bad if I've missed it. And secondly, did I miss it? And what did it say? And what do I owe you? And something like that. I got a feeling that asshole didn't actually ever send me an email. It's just another fucking sales outreach tactic. At which point, I want to wring their fucking neck. I'm like, you just made me waste 10, 15 minutes because I think I'm in the wrong because I haven't responded to an email and you want to put a face to a name and very nice and friendly. But I'm like, if that's your fucking sales tactic and you're lying to me on the first thing and you've just wasted 15 minutes of my time, that's a knife in my back that you ain't going to get to pull out.
And that's when the Highland coup comes out.
Yeah, I mean, it's stuff like that that's just like, I have enough of a fucking fight as it is with adversaries, let alone inside my own organization on how we balance, business and security and engineering and physical security and safety and the culture and everything else. And then you come stick a fucking knife in my back by pretending to do something and wasting my time because I feel guilty about it. No, just does not fucking work.
Oh, we have a good question. And what if the BDR gets a hold of someone else in the organization and they say, oh, yeah, Chris would be best to talk to about that?
I kill him.
Why?
You don't do an end around. Oh, anybody? Oh, hang on. Sorry, let me.
No, if someone internally
But what if the BDR
refers
gets a hold of
you.
somebody else? And oh, okay, all right. I mean, yeah, that's actually, I won't kill him. Sorry, I apologize. Yeah, I think that's one of those. So I have. This is where it gets really interesting because, as a CISO, so perfect example. We're going through some stuff now. We're doing a little bit of a bit of a data discovery on some better ways of tracking supply chain. So I'm having a conversation with the company, and I'm gatekeeping because it isn't just a decision I make; it's a decision, say, four other people make as well. I'm not going to hand those names over to the salespeople because I don't want them doing an end around and going after anybody else. They will wait. They are gated until I have internally validated with the four other people to go, hey, this is something I'm considering. What are your thoughts? At which point, if I get a thumbs up or a thumbs down, then that feedback is given that they get led in to talk to those other people. I will say, hey, yeah, there's a couple of other people inside the org that I think would be well worth on this. And the salesperson, well, who is that? I'd love to talk with them. Well, y'all can hold your fucking horses for 5 minutes. Let me check first. And that's how I do it with the team. Somebody will approach me and go, hey, we'd love to talk to you about, purple widgets. And purple widgets might be Terra's specialty. So I will take that message, I'll forward it on to Terra and go, hey, here's my thoughts. I had a talk with them. Let me know if you want to engage or whatever. And then Terra will get back to me and go, yeah, not a bad idea, or nope, we're doing this, or whatever. Same thing with Justin, same thing with Brad and stuff like that. So I end up as that gatekeeper. And if there is a use for it, then that next step is basically make the intro and off they go. But if there isn't, then that feedback's given, like, hey, not at this time. So yeah, no, I think it's one of those things where I get pretty pissed off if somebody hands my information out without informing me first, without letting me know first, or without actually being a dutiful gatekeeper, shall we say.
And then, in regards to, so if you flip it the other way around, Hank, using folks as a stepping stone, that's where the knives come out. Yes.
That's where the knife comes in. I mean, I still get that one. I still get inbound emails going, hey, I just fucking somebody hit me up the other day wanting to get hold of my CEO again. And I have this really great product. It's this. I wanna show it to them. And could you make an intro? And I'm like, I actually dug out my I love my CEO and I protect him. I send that to them. And I'm like, you really think I'm gonna actually intro you to my CEO? Really? So I think again, it's I do the best I can to be a custodian. Now it's a balance because at the same time, there's value. I mean, there's absolute value out there. Otherwise, the industry wouldn't actually be making some money. So there is value out there, but I think it means that it's my duty to go to Blake and go, hey, look, are you looking at anything like this at the moment? You got on the radar. And Blake's gonna come back to me and go, yay or no? Which one? I'm like, okay, then maybe I'll do something. Maybe I won't. I mean, I get them all the time, like, hey, I've got this widget and I want to sell it to your internal whatever person. Can you make an intro? And it's in a longer version of that, basically. And it's like, So you didn't do your own due diligence. You sure as hell didn't do any research on this one. You decided to hit me up because I'm probably one of the most public people in the company, let's face it. And you can't be asked to spend 5 minutes even looking at our website to see who the right person might be. How about no? Oh yeah, Chris Roberts mentioned we should talk. Yeah, that backfires beautifully as well, because people get hold of me and go, "Hey, did you mention this person to me?" And I'll be very honest, let's face it.
Yeah. All
Oh.
right, what do you think we could be doing better on this podcast? Let's kind of have an internal self, kind of self retrospection. Let's be honest.
Our planning can sometimes, and it's our planning can sometimes be a little haphazard, and we managed to pull it off. You know, I think this
Yeah.
is we managed to pull it off. I've actually, this is a good question for the audience, and it's something I've always wondered by. I look at how certain other podcasts do things, and I don't know if it's just because I'm getting to be an old hat at this, or if it's just I feel much more relaxed doing this, especially when you and I talk, or if it's just we have a different style. But I mean, there are podcasts where you've got the pre-podcast meeting, you've got the podcast checksum buttons about, and you turn up 15 minutes and 30 minutes beforehand, and you do your sound checks, and you're all sitting there a little proper and prim and happy. And then you've got our podcast, which is I woke up at 6 this morning, worked until 7 this morning, went back to bed until the alarm went off at 8:30, eventually got my ass out of bed at 8:45, went up and made a cup of tea, sat down here at 8:58 and turned the computer on for 9 a.m. Mountain time to start this. And that's why I'm in my pajama bottoms, which I'm still civilized in because they're proper semi-proper pajama bottoms and a t-shirt.
Hey,
So
hey,
yes.
secret, secret. Me too.
That's awesome. So I guess
Much
that's the
earlier,
question.
by the way, for
There we go.
me.
Okay. I love it. Yeah. Don't overnight. Pre-plan and bring more guests ahead of time. Okay. I think the guest thing, maybe actually that is a good point from that is a good point because we do tend to throw it out and say, "Hey, do you want to come on?"
Yeah.
I do wonder if we want to try and line somebody up every week or something. That's going to mean more planning, which means more planning.
So I mean, we initially created this for you all, right? To come on and get
Yeah,
help
so get your ass
from
on it,
yeah.
Maria.
So
Come now.
I mean, I'm about bringing on guests, but I'd like you all to be the guest and like dig in deep with us and say, okay, how can we improve this? How can we improve that? Or ask those questions because a lot of us kind of sit behind the scenes and listen to other people. That was the whole premise of the show. But if bringing on guests is going to help and resonate, we can explore that and test that out. Podcast lookout, we do some prep, just align in
Yeah, I like
speaking
that one.
points. Yeah, yeah,
And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
basically what we do. I mean, I'm looking at the notes that you had on this one, which is kind of fun. Behind the scenes, learn and growth, look ahead, engagement,
Yep.
and stuff like that one. No, I like that. I mean, that's nice. And Hank, to that point, Danny typically will put speaking notes out. In theory, we tend to talk or try to talk on Monday evenings. That doesn't necessarily always work.
Yeah.
But I mean, if we do, we try to. Yeah, the guests, I think, on that one. Okay, I think that, yeah, actually, the
Yeah.
guests, I think Mama says hi.
So
Oh, awesome.
this isn't the first this isn't the first comment somebody saying that they want salespeople to pitch to you. So explore that.
Maybe we do that. So maybe what we do, maybe we try and do, let's do a guest. Let's try and do like a guest every other episode. And we have almost like a pitch fest. We do like once every, I don't know, like we rotate, like we used to do the Dr. Dark Web stuff. We would rotate the episodes to some degree. It's actually kind of fun. We do like one episode where it's just you and I talking, one episode where it's a regular guest and we have a normal conversation, and then one episode which is pitch the CISO. Yeah.
I think that the four segments we did was just looking back was a little too complex and diluted the core of the pod a little
Okay.
bit. What I think could work well, and this was just a test from some of the audience first stuff that we did was is having two segments.
Okay.
And then one of the segments being the like not the milestone segment or like the keynote segment of the month. Let's just say that much. So you do three episodes, which is the core of the pod,
Yeah.
right? let's talk about what needs to be improving. Let's give the tangible examples and the buildups and bring people on to validate. And then we do one episode, which is like what people wait for at the end of the month or the beginning of the month or whatever, where we bring on the pitch on the pod. I want to call it pitch on the pod. We could explore it. I don't know. We'll talk offline, but I love the feedback. I love the feedback here, everybody. Yeah. Live Shark Tank.
So we need more guests, which is kind of fun. Yeah. Ali said, that's what Ali said. I think, yeah, a lot of the salesmen serve a prep call, not call, like to get past his pure outreach, less focus. We can do that. No, I mean, Jason, I agree, but I disagree because prep call equals prep.
Yeah.
And let's just put it, my Mondays are 15 meetings. My Tuesdays were normally, yesterday was 14 meetings. My Fridays are actually vendor meetings. My today's is 10 meetings. 9 meetings on Thursday. So I like the idea of prep, but I think it's going to have to be you turn up 15 minutes beforehand and we do a prep then. That's about as much prep. April's here now. Yay. Yeah, product manager, project marketing. I think I like that. I think, yeah, we do that. I think that would be good. And I think there's enough folks out there. And yeah, Jason, I don't want to bring people in to set them up for failure. That's absolutely not what I want to do. And we can talk about this stuff. You know, that's why we have LinkedIn. That's why we have email. So we can always hit somebody up and say, hey, Danny, you and I could figure out like a format for this to bring people in and quite honestly set them up for success and go, hey, look, you know, pitch Chris, how is your organization doing it? How are you typically doing it? How are you doing outreach? And we almost have a, not just a pitch fest, but let's do a live tear down build up.
And I think that we need to solidify the criteria because it can't just be like bring in like a scoring model, if you will. Like, what are the elements that you need to be hitting on and how do you score? And then go back and let's give them the recommendations also on how they can improve it.
Okay, so that brings up a really interesting conversation. That actually really does bring up an interesting topic. What is the measure of success? If you're business development or you are building a campaign, you've done the marketing campaign, you're doing sales as well. What is the measure of success?
Well, meeting success.
Okay.
Opportunity creation.
Yeah.
So it's long term.
Okay. But
the minimum is we've hooked a successful meeting. And by the way, folks, answer the question too.
And actually, so here's a question. What's the definition of a success? And I know what my answers are behind the scenes, but what's the definition of a successful meeting?
Yeah.
Is it the fact that you've engaged me? Is it the fact I'm actually interactive and I'm not looking at email? Is it that I want to set up another meeting? Is it the fact it goes from, and I think, you know, Jason said it, which is
yes.
every stage has exactly. its own.
Yeah. Depends where you are. It depends where you so are. And maybe we work on defining that also because some people don't maybe know what those ideal stages are because you can also get so like in the weeds about these stages and metrics and all these kind of things. Like what is the minimum model. Exactly. That is the ultimate goal, right? Don't piss off Chris and help him understand what you do.
I wonder how many people have now got that in their marketing material.
I think if we help to help some folks define that, because some might not know how to define that well.
I mean, there are some folks on here that are like, hey, I'm helping a startup, or I'm building a company, or I'm doing this. And I think that's fair. So I don't mind. And Avi also said he would also join in as well on this one. I think that would be fantastic. Get a couple of different CISOs on here as well.
Yeah.
And we can all take a different viewpoint as to, you know, is this an initial? Let's talk about a LinkedIn. Let's do a LinkedIn, a couple of different, you know, let's have this. Maybe this is the criteria. We sit down with people and say, okay, we'd love to have you on the show if you're willing to come on. Do you want to talk about your LinkedIn outreach? Do you want to talk about your initial email outreach? Do you want to talk about first meeting, you know, first meeting how not to piss off Chris and get the Highland coup up the ass? Or is it how do I go from initial to close, you know, and what should I expect? And again, from a CISO standpoint, what kind of, how long should I expect that cycle to be? Yeah. So I think there's a couple of different ways to do it. I think this could be, it sounds like this actually might be something fun.
Yeah. We'd be hitting up some people for some advice. And
yeah, so here's the problem. Elia, I want to chew on you on this one because it isn't how many calls, but it shouldn't be. Let me rephrase this. And I'm not being an ass. I am being an ass, but I'm not. But it shouldn't be how many calls per month. Fuck the amount of calls you make per month. I care about quality, not quantity. If you make one call per day and you can get past my barrier, that's a fucking success. At which point the chances are eventually it'll lead to something because I'm not going to waste your time and I'm sure as hell not going to waste my time. That one call is probably worth 100 other ones where you've pissed off 99 other people. So to me, it's a quality versus quantity conversation. Hang up to piss off.
the ultimate goal.
I love it. I think that's, and I think that honestly, that I mean, when you think about it, a cold outreach should not be, and April said it for BDRs's activity, and I think it should be, to me, it's positive activity.
Yeah,
I think that's a big one. Yeah, no, I totally get it. Yeah, Elliot's right. I mean, but this is where I think it's got to be different. To me, it's taking Elliot and it's taking April and going, I want positive activity. I don't want to get redirected to a LinkedIn post. I don't want to get put in spam. I want to fight the metric. And this is what I also want to do. I think this, actually having people on, Elliot, your ass is coming onto this show at some point, by the way, heads up. I think this is one of those things where it needs to be effective completed meetings.
Yes.
Because I mean, I'll take a 30-minute meeting on a Friday afternoon.
So we have to define what effective is. Some people don't know what effective is. We have to define how to measure emotion, sentiment, all that kind of stuff.
I think that's it. It's sentiment and emotion. Sentiment. It isn't just I've agreed to another meeting because I might do that because you just offered me a steak fucking dinner. I won't. But I'll tell you right now, half the fucking CISOs out there will, which pisses me off. That's an entire different conversation. To me, it's we used to measure in percentages. You know, what's the percentage of close? You know, that first meeting that you take, is it 10, 25%? Is there, you know, do I have the need? Is there something there? Is the budget there? All that good BAMF stuff.
Right.
And then it was like, okay, how did, and to me, we always used to do it on emotive. How did you feel that next meeting went, and you would train it from that one, explicit strategy. Yeah, I think that's a good one. All right, we'll take that. I like this. I think we've got more homework, unfortunately.
Well,
by the way, that year in a CISO took a lot of fucking work to put together.
Yeah, and also the Acme Corp NIST model.
Yeah, that was a bunch of work, but it was worth it. I think it was worth it. I think April still needed a copy of it. I need to get that done.
We should link these resources in the website. So that's another thing that we need to do better. I need to update the website more and then actually publish these on audio streamers because we doubled down on the LinkedIn Live because the LinkedIn Live has been getting the engagement and we've been able to actually see who's coming on and
get this. People. This is fantastic.
I got to do a better job of getting this on different channels and distributing more efficiently. So
right stakeholder, right for the product, next steps to qualify meeting. I think that's something, but I think it'd be useful to qualify that. And again, you know, Elliot said it on here, which is unfortunately so many people are measured just simply on the fact the phone rings and somebody fucking picks it up and you get more than a 5-second response on a stupid thing.
And that's where we have to come in and evangelize on shifting perception.
Hugely so. It's we need the cow metric. It's as simple as that. We need the Highland coup metric. Okay, for those of you that are familiar with it, there is a pain scale. I think most of us.
Yes. Oh, yes. Let's use the pain scale. Let's bring it back.
Was it you and I were talking about it?
We talked about that when I was still in Israel.
Oh, my God.
So okay, that was at least 5 months ago. More,
Oh, I'm
more.
impressed. No, because I remember buying pain scale stickers, and that was a while. Okay, we're doing pain scale. Yes, Silent Cow pain scale. We are doing. Damn, that bruised up.
Was that from biking?
That's all a bruise. Yeah, I
Oh.
basically dented. You can actually see
Yeah.
I dented the entire. I didn't see that was a bruise. Damn, that's
Okay,
yeah.
on the
Welcome
pain
to
scale,
the.
where does that live?
God.
Oh,
That's not, I think
man.
that's the worst one at the moment. Yeah, that one's not bruising up as badly. You don't want to look at my legs. My legs are A, bright white, and B, covered in scars at the moment.
Oh,
I can't do a
man.
pain triangle. I can't do triangles. Triangles piss me off. I fucking hate triangles.
Why do you hate
They are
triangles?
because they're not logical. A square is logical. It has a correct number of sides to it. A triangle has three sides. I can't deal with threes. I can deal with twos and fours. I can't deal with threes. Threes confuse me.
Really? I can deal with threes, fives, and sevens.
No, don't do that to me. Well, you can take over three, fives, and sevens. I'll do two, four, sixes, and eights.
We got it all covered, folks.
All right, so we're doing the pain triangle. I need to get hold of, I need my, where's my damn notebook? I need to get hold of artist chap, and I want,
Yes.
are we going with Highland Cows or are we going to go with something else?
I'm gonna put a poll out.
To vote.
I'm gonna put a poll out and I'm gonna share it in the chat here.
Right. Maybe I'll do that too. I could also. I
It's gonna
can.
tank some of my visibility on LinkedIn for that specific post, but it's specific to this
I
group
can
here,
do.
so.
I can help with a bit of visibility. Apparently, there are some people that actually read my LinkedIn posts, which scares the crap out of me still.
This can be a good, actually, we could create a story out of that and it could be an interesting post. I'll write it up and I'll probably be posting it tomorrow, everybody. So we have
We need
posts
a
ready for
button
it.
as well. I've got a note for a what the fuck button plus ones on a plinth. Button small, medium, and large. I still got to do the buttons. And I've got a Hebrew version as well. I put down we've got a Hebrew version. Use a triangle there. I can't do triangles. Don't do this to me.
Nah, we won't do triangles.
I can do circles. Circles I like because I
Circles are
like power.
nice.
Yeah, circles work. It's all circles are all about cryptography.
All right, we are
I see one more freaking sales triangle. I may lose it. I've basically never seen a fucking sales Highland cow, says the guy that hasn't looked at Scottish sales to see if there's a fucking Highland cow in there somewhere. All right.
right, we have some homework to do, everybody. This has been really helpful and useful for us.
Yeah, I
Hopefully too.
appreciate this. This is awesome. This is basically building a podcast via democracy. I
That's how
really
you do
love it.
it, everybody. Take this as a model. Do it internally. Go be yourselves. Do it with your folks. Okay.
Oh, thank you, Barry. You're awesome. I actually am going to put a link to that post. Oh my gosh. You saw the. I'm going to use that picture I got from the sunset picture.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, that was
Shall I
crazy.
share? Can I share with everybody?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah,
Here
please
we
do.
go. This was the picture I got yesterday.
I'm actually going to use it as a LinkedIn post today.
Yeah.
I think I've got to sit down and write the darn thing, but I'm
How
going to use
pretty is,
it.
in my case, it's not really pretty on camera,
Yeah,
but
I'll put it up. It's a pretty awesome. It's ridiculous. Welcome to mountain biking in Colorado. I
beautiful.
think I have time between now and the next meeting to do a post, but I'm not entirely. Oh no, I don't.
No, we're gonna buy you back 6.5 minutes.
Yep.
Everybody, this has been super helpful for us. Thank you very much to our community who has been coming on every single week. Chris, thanks to you. You've been coming on every single week too,
I would
and
hope so.
more.
The pair of us have, otherwise it isn't going to work. Let's face it, you've been putting all the tech in. I do get the ability to just wander in with a cup of tea. So all thanks to Danny.
We should make WTFT.
Do should what? Hang on.
We should make WTFT.
We could have some fun.
Okay.
Never been to
Anyway,
the
we're thinking branding. Okay. Last imparting thoughts to the audience. We squirreled for a good 10 minutes.
Simply thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being along with us on the journey.
Yeah.
Thank you for being willing to listen. Thank you for being willing to actually input and help. I mean, I'm not kidding when this is like podcasting via democracy. I want to change. I want this to grow. I would love the message to reach the leadership folks. I think the only way this does this is if we do evolve when we listen to people. So it's on board. Aside from just Highland Cows on pain scales, I think the ability to get people in here, I do think you and I. I know Monday is a public holiday in the US, and I actually think I'm in the air, but you and I do need to sit down before next week and actually come up with a plan.
Got it.
Sorry to
Set
say.
something up. We'll set
Yeah.
something up.
You and I'll hit each other offline and let's set
Yep.
something up and let's try and figure this one out because I love the idea and I want to do right by the people that are listening. I think that's it. I want to do right by everybody.
I want to say, I just want to start off saying I commend you because there aren't too many folks that want to do right and are investing the time to help sales, marketing, founders, just the vendors do things a little bit better so that they're successful. So hats off to you. I won't take my hat off because it's a shit show under there, but hats off to you. And I really do thank you for investing so much time, effort, thought into this process.
I
So,
appreciate it. This is good. I think for both of us, it's cathartic. I like it and I enjoy it.
sure is. All right, folks. Thanks again to all of you. We will see you next week. We're going to set some time. I generally publish this on Mondays. So look out for a link on Mondays. We generally get about 150 plus people registering and about 50 or so who actually come on. We want to increase that number. But thank you again for coming on today. This has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We are out.